Today on More to Life, running on empty. Feeling burned out in your life or relationships will help you bounce back and reclaim your sense of joy and purpose. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, running on empty. We're talking about those times when our tank just feels a little less full than we'd like it to be.
Or a lot less full.
Yeah, yeah. And we're feeling burned out. And, you know, you can experience burnout in general and feel kind of burned out on life. But you can also experience burnout in specific areas, you know, with a particular problem that I'm working on, or a particular relationship that I'm in, or a particular, you know, issue that I'm dealing with. I could feel great about every other part of my life, but I feel, you know, in this one area, things are just not working the way they should. And I'm putting more effort into it and getting less and less out of it, and now I'm starting to feel tempted to maybe settle or just give up. And that feeling of burnout can really start to rob our sense of joy and purpose. And that's what we want to help you get back today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, and I really want to speak to the fact that this isn't... It's a feeling, for sure. But the feeling then accompanies and causes all sorts of disconnect. Right? We get disconnected with the health of our own bodies. Our adrenal system starts to get depleted. We get exhausted. We lose our sense of spontaneity and joy. We get disconnected from people because it's just one more thing we have to do. One more relationship that's going to take our energy. Whether that's our friends outside of our daily life, or even our spouse and our kids, where all we want to do is lock ourselves away for a little while to try to regain our energy, to try to get some peace in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. We all need moments in our day that allow us to reconnect with God and ourselves. And especially if you're a parent, we all know how very, 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 very difficult, if almost impossible, sometimes that can feel. But if the sense of losing ourselves and feeling burnt out is desperately making us want to get away from everyone, that's when we have to start looking at that and saying, all right, what do I have to do to refill this tank? We had a wonderful gentleman. It was a father of a friend of ours who years ago, kind of, we were all sitting around a dinner table at a summer picnic one night, and he said, you know, the advice I want to give all of you, especially now that y'all have young kids in your cars, he said, never, ever let your gas tank get below half, ever. He said, keep an eye on it, because you never know when you're going to need a full tank of gas in a hurry because somebody needs you far away. You never know when you're going to get caught in a traffic jam that's going to burn. He said, save yourself the stress of waking up and having to go to work or church and there's not enough gas in the car. Always look at that halfway mark. But we don't do that enough in our own lives. We think, I'll take care of myself another time. I'll address this challenge another time. And we let our tank get way below half. So what can we do to help you overcome that today. Refill that tank, whether it's your whole tank or in particular areas of your life.
877-573-7825. Call up and share. Do you feel worn down by a particular challenge you're facing in your life or relationships? Are you dealing with a problem that feels like the more effort you put into it, the less progress you make? Do you feel like you're being tempted to settle in a relationship or in the face of a challenge you're experiencing? If so, you might be experiencing burnout. We want to help you refill your tank and reclaim your sense of hope, strength, and purpose. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And maybe you're saying, well, what is that? Why should I care? And how could it possibly help me deal with burnout? All great questions. So St. John Paul gave a series of reflections when he was Pope on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships. And learning how to keep that tank full and what God's plan for keeping it full is a big part of avoiding burnout.
Now, I want to really bring home here that burnout isn't just a feeling. You recognize it through the feeling, but burnout is actually effort minus meaning. And that can refer to our work, our roles in life, or our relationship. Anything we feel we're putting effort into, but getting less and less benefit from. The theology of this body speaks to this when it reminds us of the difference between work and toil. You see, before the fall, the work that Adam and Eve did to tend the garden was joyful and fulfilling. It had purpose and meaning, and their efforts literally produced good fruit. But after the fall, because sin knocked the entire world out of order, work became toil. The earth fought back against the efforts to cultivate it. Their work felt like a struggle, and they lost sight of the purpose of their efforts. Work became something that divided them instead of making them feel united for a common purpose. This is the basis of burnout. When our effort seems meaningless, especially when it comes to our efforts to work on our relationship, that's when we start feeling burned out.
So reclaiming joy in the face of burnout means reconnecting with the meaning and purpose behind what we're doing and approaching our work and relationships in a way that enables us to feel more connected to God, to the people around us, and to our own best selves. You know, sometimes it takes making a conscious effort to step back from what we're doing and intentionally remind ourselves why we're doing this thing, who we're doing it for, and what our goal is in choosing to do it in the first place. And then we need to ask ourselves if the way we're doing something is really serving those goals. And if not, it's time to make some changes. You know, God doesn't want us to settle for grinding our way through the day in our work, life, or relationships. In fact, burnout can be a sign that we're starting to settle and that we need to step back and practice what the theology of the body calls receptivity by giving our attention to God and asking him how he wants us to approach the work or role or challenges in front of us and listening for his voice to guide us through. If we can do that, his grace will bring the meaning, purpose, and joy back into all the things we do. But that's easier said than done. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, I'm picking up some good things from this reflection, but I'm not sure how to apply it in this situation, or in this relationship that I'm feeling frustrated by, or in this area where I'm being tempted to settle, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Running on Empty, as we talk about those times when we feel burned out in our entire life or in just one part of it. Either way, when we experience that sense of effort minus meaning, putting work into something and getting less and less out of it, whether it's a relationship or an activity, it's frustrating. And we feel burned out. Let us help you reclaim that sense of joy and purpose. 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord. And then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we often struggle to know how to work on the things that are important to us, to work on the things that you call us to do. And as a result, we work really, really hard and get very little out of the effort that we put into the thing. Teach us, Lord, how to respond to those things in ways that actually are fruitful. Show us how you want us to act so that we can cooperate with your grace more effectively and work to become the people you are calling us to be, to have the relationships that you want us to have and live the abundant lives to which we are called. Help us to not fall into the trap of just doing the same thing over and over again, hoping that things will change, or working even harder doing those same things, hoping that if I just put more effort into it, then more meaning will come out of it. Help us to be willing to step back and be receptive, as your servant St. John Paul calls us, to be able to hear your voice and know how to respond to these things in ways that it will produce fruit for your kingdom and in our hearts as well. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout. And burnout can be something that we experience sort of universally, and I'm just burned out and everything. More often, though, it's that we're burned out in a particular part of our life. There's one relationship where we're putting tons of effort into and getting less and less out of, or one problem that we're trying to solve, and we just keep hammering away at it, and we're getting less and less results. You know, if you're feeling burned out in general or in a particular part of your life or relationships, let's talk it out and find ways to reclaim that sense of joy and purpose. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have an email here from Emily, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. And she said, my drained, burned-out experience is coming from my mother-in-law. She says she guilts and manipulates everyone in the family with her feelings. She can be warm and welcoming, but if anyone gets more attention than her, or if things don't go exactly as she wants them to, she'll cry, insult people, and generally make everyone so uncomfortable and feel so guilty that everyone gives in and twists themselves into knots to make her happy. It seems like I'm the only one who sees how destructive this is for her and the whole family. My husband says it's just who she is. I can't take it anymore. I'm drained for days after I have any exchange with her, especially if we're visiting her house or she, and I don't like when she does it, comes here, especially unexpectedly. It drains my energy, it makes me feel tense, and I feel like it's starting to be a problem with my marriage because my husband doesn't see it. Is it possible that if I stop going to family events or actually call out her behavior while things are going on there, that I could make a difference in this dynamic? And that's Emily in Pennsylvania.
Emily, thank you so much for the question. So, and I'm sorry that you're having to deal with this. I mean, that's a very frustrating situation that you're describing. I think just objectively, I completely understand where you're coming from. So let me talk though about where the burnout's actually coming from. I think the burnout in your situation is coming from the belief that it's your job to make your mother-in-law happy or better in some way. The idea that if you could just respond in a certain way that she would get the message and change.
Or that the family would get the message and change when you're around her.
Or that the family should change in some way to change her. Do you see what I'm saying? When your husband says, well, that's just the way she is, on one hand, that's kind of avoiding the problem. On the other hand, that's recognizing that it's not his job to change her. And that's, you know, and sometimes avoiding burnout, you know, if burnout means effort minus meaning, sometimes the answer to burnout means do less. to step back and say, you know, I don't have to do this job, or I don't have to do it this way, or I don't have to work on it this much. And so the question really becomes, you know, if you cared less about jumping through the hoops, or if you cared less about trying to make her happy, what would change for you? I'm not suggesting that you ignore her. I'm not suggesting that you be mean to her in any way or disregard her. I'm saying that if you didn't see her behavior as a reflection on you, or a reflection on your efforts, but rather were able to see it as this is who she is, and you were able to make the choices you needed to make to take care of yourself around her, even if she reacted poorly to that, what would that change about you? What would that change about things? I'm fine with if you had to, you know, to withdraw from certain family interactions or whatever, that's perfectly okay. But I think that's a more dramatic response. And you may need to go there, but you might not. And if you were able to just sort of say, you know, her behavior isn't a reflection on me. This really is just who she is. And I can put less effort into making her be different, which would free you up to do what you needed to do to take care of yourself around her, instead of feeling like, oh gosh, you know, I did this thing and now she's upset about it, and what, you know, and now I need to fix that. I think that would help you put down enough of the emotional labor to feel less affected by how she is. And that's what I'm going to suggest that you start with. If you find that you're struggling to do that, or you need to set more boundaries beyond that, then we can certainly talk more about that moving forward. But I think that where you want to start with this, though, is recognizing that her behavior is not a reflection on you, and it's not your job to make her better. It's your job to be healthy and do healthy things around her, and ask your husband to join you in doing those healthy things around her. But you know, and not kind of react if your mother-in-law is not responding well to that.
Yeah, and even to the point where you can not change your own plans for you and even your children, if she's making everybody else change theirs to affect her feelings. And that's something for you to decide in each situation. But let's take something out of my mind. So you all had a plan to go to the pool together or go to the zoo or something, and then mother-in-law doesn't want to do that for some reason and starts guilting and making everybody miserable and trying to talk her into what she wants to do. It's perfectly fine for you to say, hey, that's great. If you guys are all changing the plan and doing that, that's great. I had promised the kids we were going to do what we originally came up with. I'll go do that with them, and then we'll all meet back for dinner somewhere, or we'll all meet back for dessert somewhere. Don't ask permission about it. Just say, hey, we're going to stick with the original plan, but we'll gather together later. Bye, and leave. Don't get into the conversation about it. Because you doing that isn't about challenging the whole family, making them change. They can all go along with it if you want, but you are still showing them a different way of handling her and being your own person and sticking with your own, you know, plans with that. And that may suddenly cause a difference as it goes down the line, but at least you know you're staying authentic to who you are without causing a big fuss.
So I agree with you that her behavior is offensive and difficult to deal with, but the burnout is actually coming from your belief that you have to somehow change her in order for her to approve of you and for her to feel better and for you to kind of have the relationship with her that you want, instead of just being able to accept this is what it is and then living accordingly. Sit with that for a little bit. And if you've got follow-up questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. Or if you need to set better boundaries, we're happy to work with that too. If you'd like more personalized attention, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform this difficult situation. Thanks again for the question. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout. And again, burnout is effort minus meaning. And that can apply to a specific situation in our life, or a particular relationship that we're working really hard on but not getting a lot out of. Or it could just apply to life in general sometimes. How are you feeling burned out? Where are you being tempted to settle because the effort you're putting out isn't generating the results you're hoping for? 877 877- 573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11, and she's going to talk about those times when you just feel burned out, especially in a big family. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about burnout on our show titled Running on Empty. You know, burnout is effort minus meaning, and we're asking, where are you feeling like you're putting a lot of effort but getting less and less out of it, whether that's a relationship, a problem, a challenge, or some issue? We're here to help. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
It's so good to be with you today, Rachel. Now, Rachel, as Greg mentioned, you're a wife and a mom of 11, and with that task can come, as for all of us who are in any situation like that, a bit of burnout now and again. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of people to handle and help. What, from your experience, can you share of your wisdom with people who might be feeling some burnout today to counteract it?
Well, it's interesting because right now we're at the first day of summer and we've just finished the school year. And so I know a lot of parents are thinking, wow, I just got done with a really busy year and now I've got to get started to entertain the kids for a summer. And that's where burnout can come from, is you're feeling overwhelmed by those jobs that you used to love. You used to, you know, you love being a parent, you love being a spouse and that, but life can intrude and cause problems. So the first thing is, do you know the source of your burnout? Is it something from within the family? Kids are overscheduled, you know, you don't have a good routine going into it, or is it maybe work or a spouse's work? So if you can find out what that is, that's a good first step, because then you can step in and say, okay, if it's work, how do we address that if it's stuff in the house? Then what you can do with that is give yourself permission to explore the ways you can fall back in love with parenting, with being a great spouse, or even with your work. And too oftentimes, we want to wait for everything to be perfect. I've got to get all the dates set for the entire summer before I decide to just pack up the kids and go to the beach for the day or explore the local library's reading program. I think so many times burnout comes because we feel a need to be perfect or we feel
yeah.
the need to have it all together. And as a mom of a large family, I'll never have it all together. So I can just It's when God gives them to me, and then when I take them and go with them.
And we have to give ourselves permission for that, because that idea of being perfect all the time, that we have to earn that break by our perfection, that we have to make sure everything is in a row before we walk out the door. Yes. God forbid we meet somebody at the park who wants to come back to the house afterwards and there's a dish in the sink. And we just stop our joy. We stop that refilling of the tank when we think that way, right?
Exactly. And think about the wedding feast at Cana. Lord, my jars are empty. They're all empty. I'm going to give you a little bit of water in my jars, and can you restore them and fill them with the best? And that's the other thing about burnout, is take it to Jesus. Sit there, go to, you know, sit outside a church if it's locked, or find a moment in the summertime to go sit with him for a few minutes saying, Lord, I'm not loving what you've given me, all my blessings. They're no longer giving me joy. They're giving me frustration and sadness. I need you to refill my jars. And he will. He'll make sure that you have the best wine, as it says in the story, to last through the whole summer and then into the next rest of your life.
Rachel, thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. Really good things to take home, especially in those times when we're feeling burned out as parents. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, I'd encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Running on Empty. Burnout is effort minus meaning, and we can feel like we're putting a lot of effort into really anything and getting less and less out of it. Could be a relationship, could be a particular problem we're trying to solve, or a situation we're trying to make work out. If you're feeling like you're putting a whole lot of effort into something and getting less and less out of it, let us help you bounce back from the burnout that comes from that dynamic and start experiencing the sense of joy and hope and strength and purpose that comes from that receptivity that St. John Paul calls us to. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this break.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
What will happen when Jesus Christ comes to judge the living and the dead? On the last day, the Catholic Catechism tells us everything will be laid bare. The deeds, thoughts, and works of all men and women. Then will culpable unbelief be condemned. Culpable unbelief discounts the offer of God's grace as nothing. Our attitude toward our neighbor will reveal our acceptance or rejection of God's grace and divine love. Our Lord will say, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Though Christ is given authority over all judgment, a right he acquired by way of the cross as Redeemer of the world, Jesus did not come to judge but to save and to give the life he has within himself. If we reject the grace we receive in this life, we already judge ourselves according to our works. We can even condemn ourselves for all eternity by rejecting the Spirit of love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. day. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today on More to Life, the show is titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout. Now, burnout is effort minus meaning. And we can feel that way in general about life, or we can feel that way about specific problems or even relationships where we're putting a ton of effort into something and getting less and less out of it. Where do you feel like that's going on in your life? We want to help you change things up so that you can bounce back and rediscover your sense of hope, strength, and purpose. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. So I hear your program about burnout, and I'm absolutely experiencing it in my own family. And really, it's that I keep having the same conversation with my husband over and over and over again about seeking some type of parenting education. I don't even know how to tell him anymore in a different way than I've already told him. I've yelled at him in front of the kids, which is a no-no. Like, I've talked to him privately. I've encouraged him. I've even, you know, given him several phone numbers of organizations that will, you know, like, get with him to do, like, support groups or parenting activities. And I don't know what it is. I don't know how to tell him.
So how does he react? How does he respond to all that? What does he say back? What does he do?
Well, so it basically, you know, like, every time there's, like, an issue with, you know, I have an issue with his parenting, I try and, you know, talk to him separately. But I know the other night I was just at my wit's end and I yelled at him in front of the children. And I know, you know, I did apologize to my children. I said, you know, I was
right.
Wrong.
No, but that's what you're doing. I guess I'm asking you, how is he responding to your efforts to connect him? Like, what is he? Is he saying yes, but then not doing anything? Is he getting angry with you, accusing you of not being an effective parent either? Like, what's happening?
Well, it started with him being very angry at me, but now it's just morphed into this, well, I know I should be doing this, but yet does nothing about it. So,
is there a reason you're not doing it together, though? Like, because the way you're coming across, at least the way you're explaining it, it sounds like you're trying to fix him, and you're coming across to him like you're the expert, and he has to kind of come up to your level. And I think that anybody's going to be defensive about that sort of posture. I'm not accusing you of doing that intentionally, and I'm not even saying that you know, you don't have a point. But I guess I'm just wondering about the delivery there. What do you see? Anything, does that resonate at all, or am I missing the point?
Well, it's more like I did have a conversation with him the other night, and I said, this will work, but we both have to agree. And I'm in that 100%. But if you're going to agree but then choose to do your own way, it's not going to work. And so we have to come to an agreement, but yet he kind of still chooses to do his own thing.
So like, let me ask, in other areas, let's take it off of parenting for just a second. Let me ask you, when you have another difference of opinion about anything else, are you guys usually able to come to a place where, you know, you start at different places, but you work together and you come to a place where you can do, where you agree and you are on the same page? Or is it just, you know, you tend to just kind of find way where that you agree to disagree, or you always do your own things even in other areas?
No, we actually come to agreement just about on everything except the parenting issue, and it's really exhausting for me. because he seems to get offended by things that I say to him, and it's almost like I have to babysit his emotions, because I can deal with my children because I know they don't have the emotional capacity, but I know him as a grown-up. It's like, I don't have time or energy for this. Like, I really need for you to just understand that I'm trying to talk to you in a very gentle way like I would my children, but then he thinks I'm patronizing him.
So a couple of things. Three thoughts. So number one, I think this is, instead of having him go off to learn how to be a better parent, this is something you guys need to do together.
Yeah, because when you're saying, and the key was the last thing you said, he feels like you're patronizing him. So you're telling him to go off and take a class like he is a child. Go to school, learn how to do this, come back, and be better like me. That's how he's reading it. That's why he's
reacting.
That's
not your intention, but that is how it's coming across.
Right. And anybody definitely would be not defensive. Your intention. Your intention is, dear God, please get the skills we need because I am drowning and I need you, honey.
But that's
not what he's hearing.
But so ask if the two of you could do something, a course together, or be involved in another thing that you could simply do even without the course. You could be reading a book together every day, read a chapter of a book together, discuss it. Or even if you don't do that, if you just carve out time every day to talk about the kids and what's driving you crazy about it, how do you want to handle the thing, and you're talking about it every day, so you're creating a ritual where the two of you can get on the same page. Because I think the second thing that I'd point out is that you're kind of doing this reactively. You know, the kids do something, he reacts to it, you don't like the reaction, so then you complain about it, you know, and then he forgets the conversation by the next time you've talked about it, or gets defensive and resists it passive aggressively the next time the kids do the thing. That you're addressing things after the fact instead of being proactive and having time every day where you're saying, well, we're going to take some time, 10 minutes a day to talk about how the kids are doing, how we want to respond to this, what do we need to be doing to get on the same page so that we can kind of direct that together.
And I want to hit on the fact that Greg said, and then he forgets all about it, because when any of us address a concern with someone, either in the heat of the moment or right after that heated moment, whatever it is, our brains are not thinking anymore. They are offline. We are reacting. They are reacting. Everybody's reacting. It's not cool. And when we aren't in our thinking brain, we can't remember anything that happened in that moment. We may remember bits and pieces. We'll remember the feeling, but we won't remember any of the problem solving that may have gone on in that moment. But if you set aside time every day together to plan your family, to talk about how you want to address concerns that each one of you have in a time where it's calm and cool and collected, and both of you know you've made the commitment to being there, that would be the first step. Reading a book together or watching YouTube videos on
it. Doing it together.
Together is going to make all the difference. You want to be partners.
One of the points of the theology of the body that's really important, okay, is that there's this thing called the personalistic norm, which is the fancy way of saying that the people deserve to be treated as people, which sounds obvious, right? But sometimes we treat people more like projects. And that's kind of what's happening here. You know, you're frustrated that your husband isn't changing, and so you've decided to make him into a project where he has to go off and get fixed. Again, not your intention consciously, but that is how you're coming across. And when a person isn't treated as a person and is instead being treated as a project, we lock down. We become defensive, we shut down, we resist change. And kind of God hardwired us to do that because we're not designed to be treated as projects or as means to an end. We're designed to be loved as persons. And so that's, again, why I'm saying this is something you guys need to do together, as opposed to it being something that he needs to go off and fix himself. And the only way to do that is create space every day where you're talking about it proactively instead of the reactive conversations you're having right now, where the kids do something, he gets mad, responds in a way you don't like, then you criticize him, and then you guys don't talk about it until the next time a problem comes up. What I'm really suggesting is reversing that. You know, sitting down every day and talking about, hey, where are the kids at, and how do we feel about, how they're handling this? What do we want to do about that? And really talking through the plan ahead of time. And then working through that day by day by day so that you can help each other. become more effective with this. If you find that none of those things are working, then it's a counseling issue. And it may even be, and why I was asking the question I did about, are you able to come to this in other areas? Sometimes it's a failure of respect. Or sometimes if it's one area, there's a wound there that needs to be addressed. But either way, it's something that you guys want to work on together. Because this problem isn't just that he's not demonstrating the parenting skills you want, it's that you guys don't have a good way to communicate about it, which is resulting in you acting like a parent and him acting more like a child, and you're not being partners to each other. So that becomes a counseling issue at that point.
Now, one of the ways you can tell if this is a counseling issue, if there's a deeper wound there, is to have that kind of structure in your life to become partners in marriage and raising your children together. And we can help you with that through the Catholic HOM app. It will allow you to see the things that you can be doing on a daily basis, the 12 habits that strong, faithful, loving families can do every single day in their own way to have the kind of partnership and loving, faithful family you're looking to have, but you just don't have the structure for. And we answer questions on that app all day, and you can get your questions answered every single
day. Plus tons
day.
Of creative resources as well. So
and lots of structure to help you both know how to discuss this and apply it to your family. That could be right there, the project you start doing together to get this working and moving and you both in the same frame of mind and on equal footing together. And then you'll see if that's not starting to work, if he's pushing back, you'll know, oh, wait a minute, this is a little bit deeper. There must be some wound here. Let's move on to counseling together to get the skills together.
Thank you so much for the question, Andrea. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out, and we hope that you will become part of the Catholic HOM community. And parents, you know, we were talking about burnout today, and building on Andrea's call and what Lisa was just saying, we did create Catholic HOM, spelled HOM, stands for Households on Mission, as a way of supporting Catholic parents in being more confident in their role, being more effective in their role, and creating a household where the faith is the source of the warmth in the home. You can get daily parent coaching from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors, and tons of creative resources that help make living the faith at home simple and fun. We'd love to share all of that with you. You can get 2 months free with an annual subscription of $149, or go monthly with a subscription for $14.95 a month. Either way, both you and your spouse are covered by the coaching, and all your kids can benefit from the activities. Check it out. Download Catholic HOM, Households on Mission, wherever you get your apps. Hope to see you there. It's time for our break, so it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31.
They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
A familiar verse, but a good reminder that when we are working hard at something and putting more and more effort into it and getting less and less out of it, Isaiah is reminding us to bring that situation to the Lord. And not just ask God to change it for us, but to ask God to change how we're approaching the thing. Because the burnout isn't coming from the situation itself, it's coming from how we're approaching the situation. And maybe we need to work differently, maybe we need to work less. But clearly God wants us to respond in a different way, rather than continuing to do that same thing over and over again to get less and less effect. So remember this, you know, when you're feeling burned out, bring that situation to God. Ask him to teach you how he wants you to respond to that situation in a way that will bring out the best in you, bring out the best in the people involved, so that you can glorify him in all of your responses. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show's titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout today. Where do you feel like you're putting a ton of effort in, but just getting less and less out of it? Whether that's a relationship, a problem that you're trying to work on, a change you're trying to make, let us help you reclaim your sense of hope, strength, and purpose. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? there's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout and how to bounce back from it. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Colin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Colin, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. So my girlfriend and I have been dating for about 2 years now. So some history between us. I've broken up with her twice, but this was when I was drinking.
And are you in recovery now?
I am, yes. I'm 11 months sober next week.
Congratulations. And are you working a program or just trying to do this on your own, Colin? Where are you with that support?
No, I'm in AA right now. I have a sponsor. I'm working the 12 steps.
Excellent.
So I'm doing it, you know.
Okay. So, good for you.
God bless you.
Thank you. But now that I have, you know, a clear head, you know, a sound mind, I always knew that we are just both very different people, in terms of our faith. I have a very strong faith with Jesus, and she does not. And one, that kind of bothers me, but then, just some trivial things like, political stances where I'm opposite sides of the aisle, parenting.
Mm-hmm. So why are you sticking around?
And that's the thing. How do I put this? She's been so great with me with my sobriety, and I kind of almost feel bad for breaking it off.
So you feel like she's invested a lot, but now, as you said, with a clear mind, you're going, this long haul might not work for either of us. Have you ever discussed with her own faith journey, the kinds of things that are going on there, to see where where she's at with all of this, if she'd be willing to investigate it or no.
Yes, I have. So she is actually walked away from Christ. Her father was a pastor, and her father cheated on her mother. So I think that steered her away from Christ. And I remember the first time I brought her to church with me, she made a little comment saying, "Oh, I'm surprised I don't burst out in flames walking in here."
So she's got a lot of woundedness there.
So, Colin, you know, dating is a period of discernment, right? And it's not a lifelong commitment. It's an evaluation of whether this person is able to be the partner that I need them to be, and vice versa, right? Because, you know, in Christian relationships, whether we're talking about romantic relationships or friendships, for the Christian, it's all about, you know, when I'm with this person, can I be more of the person that God is calling me to be? Or is it making it difficult for me to be the person that God is calling me to be when I'm around this person? That's not a judgment on them. That's a judgment on me and what I need and what I can handle and what I can't handle. And so you kind of have to prayerfully look at what God is calling you to in your life. And I think it's based on what you're saying, you know, I want you to pray about this, of course, but I, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, she has been a help to you and that's been good. But moving forward, as you figure out where God is calling you to in your life next, especially as you have, you know, 11 months of sobriety under your belt and you're looking to your future, you know, you're seeing that you need somebody who can walk with you spiritually, who can really be there with you as a praying partner, as a partner who is clear on, you know, who God is calling them to be, so that you can be there for her too, and that she may not be that person, and that's okay, you know. You have a history, but again, dating is all about discernment. It's not okay, I got bumped into this person and now I need to stick to them for life. Sometimes God brings people into our life for a time, so that we can learn certain things from each other, and then it's time to move on. And it sounds to me like you're really feeling that clearly. And I don't want you to do what your feelings are telling you to do one way or the other. I want you to really pray about this and really reflect on what is God saying to me about the kind of partner I need moving forward to become the person that He wants me to be. And as I reflect on that, you know, and I reflect on this relationship in light of that, do I feel like this person that I'm with, this woman that I'm with, is really capable of helping me understand more and more of who God is calling me to become and how God is calling me to live? I think that as you pray about that, the answer will become clearer to you. I want to congratulate you on your 11 months of sobriety. I want to encourage you on your journey. And I want to encourage you to really keep bringing this issue back to prayer the way I was suggesting, because, you know, God is clearly got a plan for your life. He's working hard to bring greater healing and integration into your life. And I think that this really, you know, and a part of sobriety too is really looking at those relationships. For are my relationships helping me, you know, not just stay, you know, clean and sober, but also, you know, change my life in a way that moves me in that direction, where sobriety drives greater fulfillment, right, in every part of my life. And so, again, you know, reflecting on your relationship in light of that, and I think, again, based on what you're sharing, that she's been a partner to you in some ways up to this point, but she doesn't have what it takes to move to the next place that God is calling you.
And in all honesty, Colin, you need to work for her good as well. And in this case, it's very possible that God wants her to be able to go out on her own, discover Him on her own, do some of her own healing work. Because your work has been very definable by the fact that alcohol became an addiction for you. Her work hasn't been as definable. She can ease away from, I don't have to go to church, I don't have to think about God, and not do the work it's going to take to heal those childhood wounds. But out on her own, she may get that breathing space and not have to feel like she's in a defensive stance against your faith, and really begin to say, all right, now that I'm on my own, how do I become the whole person I want to be? So you might actually be working with God's plan by giving each other that peace and that space away from one another to pursue what God's asking you both to do, even if she's not in the place to recognize that yet.
But moving forward, focus more on discernment than obligation. And Colin, if there's more we can do to support you in your journey in this relationship or, you know, anything else, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But thank you so much for the call. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. You know, we've been talking about burnout and how burnout is effort minus meaning. And if you are struggling in some way because you're putting so much effort into this relationship or making this change or solving this problem and you're getting less and less and less out of it, it's time for a different perspective and it's time for a different approach. And that's what CatholicCounselors.com is for. We want to help you make the changes that God is calling you to make in your life, in your relationships, so that you can live that abundant life and witness to the power of God's grace in your life. If you'd like to learn more about how we can support you, check us out at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.